Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda. And today I have Danielle Hayden with me, who is a reformed corporate CFO who is on a mission to help rule-breaking female entrepreneurs understand their numbers so they can gain the confidence needed to create sustainable profits. After spending 10 plus years in the boardroom as a corporate finance officer, she is now in her sweet spot as the co-owner of Kickstart Accounting, where she helps business owners with bookkeeping, financial analysis, and education. She is also the author of the Profit Planner book series. Help me welcome Danielle to our show today.
Thanks, Belinda. So excited to be here.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite subjects right here, especially from a woman teaching other women. So I'm super excited to dive into this. So why don't you just fill in a little bit of the gaps from your bio and let us get to know you a little bit better and a little bit about your journey on how you ended up doing what you're doing today to help others.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from the Midwest, and I was pursuing a career in accounting, helping all of these investors and the board of directors from all these mid-sized businesses. And they would come and they would invest in these businesses here in Cleveland. And I had such a good time helping arm these individuals with the financial information that they needed to make business decisions and grow the business I was working at, right? They would arm the CEO. I would arm the CEO and the board of directors with all this information. And it was amazing to watch them make data-driven decisions, monitoring KPIs and really driving the business through the numbers. And during that time, I was doing some volunteer work at a local entrepreneurship hub here. And what I realized was entrepreneurs need the same information, right? Mm-hmm. As these bigger businesses. And I felt such a calling to go on a mission to take all that same information I was giving to these investors and bring it to entrepreneurship. Our mission, our passion at Kickstart is to just change and disrupt entrepreneurship. I want people to make business decisions from data and grow their businesses and find the passion in their business, because as entrepreneurs, we can become tired and burnt out and frustrated when we're unorganized and we don't know the numbers of our business. It is so frustrating. And there's nothing better. There's nothing that lights up my soul more than watching an entrepreneur go from frustrated and confused to empowered and enlightened and ready to conquer their growth because they finally have the information and the confidence that they need.
Absolutely. It's so important. And I love data-driven decisions. That is a key phrase that everybody should latch on to, because we sometimes make decisions based on just a gut feeling, or, you know, it could be just a response from one unhappy client, and then you make this complete change in how you're doing something. And it's really needs to be data driven. And what does the data show? That's what I always say to people that I'm coaching. Well, what does your data show? And oftentimes, 9 times out of 10, they don't have the data. They're not even collecting the data.
Yeah. You don't know. Yeah. We want to operate from our hearts as entrepreneurs. And I have to, you know, and I'm, when I speak, I'm always speaking of a place of, I get it. I do it too. Mm-hmm. And so I always have to say to myself, hold on. I know you're passionate about this, but what does the number say? What does the data say before you make that decision?
Absolutely. So how has the business that you have now after leaving corporate, how's that shaped your lifestyle? Like, what impact has that had on that?
You know, I think the best thing that happened during this time of me leaving my corporate world and owning my own business is the example that it has been for my children. I love that they've gotten to see their mother pursue dreams and ambitions and work really hard and in pursuing those. I hope that as they grow into adults, that it encourages them to be able to do whatever they want. It doesn't have to be entrepreneurship, but I want them to know that they can disrupt the mold of what they think they're supposed to do. When we're growing up, we are always told, you need to do this. You have to check that box. You have to go to college. You have to get married by this age. You can or can't start a business. You have to do these things in order to, air quote, be successful or fit the mold. And what I want them to see is you don't have to stay in a secure job. You don't have to stay in the mold of what your career or what your education has told you to do. You can go and create your own mold. You know, having gone to school for accounting, you know, there's a pretty clear-cut path for accountants. You know, you get your bachelor's degree, you can get your master's, you complete your 150 hours, you sit for your CPA, you pick tax, audit, or corporate, and then you're there. And I really disrupted that mold. And so I think the best thing that happened is being able to show them that you can.
That's great. So let's talk about skill sets or superpowers. What do you think are a couple of your superpowers that have really helped you in owning your own business or on this entrepreneurial journey?
Asking for help. I don't think I could ever get where I'm at without everybody that's around me. You know, and that's from, you know, day one, before I even thought about starting a business. I mean, go back to my schooling. You know, I had two kids. I had to ask for help. I had to ask for the community around me to rally behind me and trust that I was going to succeed. And then I started my business and I had to ask the other experts around me for help. I always say, we can't be in a zone of genius all the time, right? Mm-hmm. I have my zone of genius. It's accounting, it's numbers, it's data. But my zone of genius isn't marketing. It's not creating a website. It's not doing the day-to-day bookkeeping for every single client. I had to ask for help. I had to ask people who their zone of genius was building a website and their zone of genius was IT services and their zone of genius was the day-to-day bookkeeping. I have an amazing team right now. I have an operations manager and several bookkeepers who work with me. And I couldn't do any of this without them because every single one of them has a zone of genius that I need in my world. And I encourage everybody to know and acknowledge their zone of genius and they get help for the pieces so you're not ending up exhausted and burnt out.
Absolutely. That is so important. That's a great piece of advice as well. So let's talk about outstanding accomplishments, something that you're pretty proud of or something that you've done that stands out in your mind.
Well, in terms of business, I think the number one thing that I'm the most proud of is that I have a team who also gets to work from their happy place. We all work virtually. We all work from home. We've been able to provide a space where our entire team has the freedom to be able to work when they want, how they want, from their homes or from a workspace that they really enjoy. And I think that there's something really profound about that because there are so many people that don't get to work from their happy place, right? They don't get to do what they love, mm-hmm. or they're controlled in when, how, and why they do it. We've empowered our entire team to find their own why and find their own mission and how they help us serve our clients together. And I think that that's so empowering, and I'm so proud that we get to have this team around us and get to give them that opportunity as well.
Very good. So kind of in the sort of polar opposite of that, let's talk about a challenge or an obstacle. And if you've got a great story, that would be amazing, that you faced and then how you worked through that.
Oh, am I supposed to pick just one?
You can pick a couple if you like. This is, you know what I always ask people for? Do you have a couple of stories? And then I think maybe that's it. Maybe people have so many that they can't pick one, so they pick none. I don't know, but I'd love a story.
Yeah, I think that as entrepreneurs, we have so many obstacles. I mean, and I feel like this, I can almost, you could ask me this every month and I could probably answer it a little bit differently. You know, I think the biggest challenge that I have ever overcome and am constantly overcoming is my mindset. And I think that I'm not alone in that. I didn't realize when I started this business 7 years ago, how many people struggle with money mindset, self-confidence, and balancing that with being humble, right? That there's this constant balance of mindset. And it was when I started the business 7 years ago and I started hearing client after client of ours talk about money mindset. And then I realized, wow, and that, now I can self-identify. We recently hired a few bookkeepers onto our team. And I found myself saying, who are you? Right? Why do you think that you can do this? Why do you think that these people want to come and work for you? Why do you think that these people want to be on this mission with you? Who are you to think that you can employ this many people and can be responsible for them? And I quickly had to say to myself, wow, this is what they're talking about when they talk about an entrepreneur mindset roller coaster that us as entrepreneurs are always on. And I think that part of me overcoming that obstacle is being able to self-identify it now, right? I can really pin when it's happening and I can say, you're having a mindset issue. How can you encourage yourself? And usually how I encourage myself is serving somebody else. I love watching our clients transform their mindset. You know, I mentioned at the beginning, people are so frustrated when they don't understand their numbers. And so whenever I get down on myself, I try to encourage one of our clients or one of our team members and help them with their mindset. And that reminds me why I need to correct my mindset. So I always am trying to operate from a place of serving other people so that I can continuously develop my mindset and continuously overcome that challenge.
That's great. And what you described there a little bit is what a lot of people refer to today as imposter syndrome. Like, mm-hmm. Why, what makes me credible in this role? What makes me special? Like, can I really do this? But I also think you hit on something really important, and I'd love to just kind of go down a rabbit hole in this with you. But, and that is money mindset, because there's probably lots of different parts to money mindset, right? There's different issues with it. But I do know that women, I've noticed, and you deal more with women, they have different issues around making money and that it's okay to make money. It's okay to be successful. So it must come from somebody telling somebody that they didn't want to be greedy or they shouldn't. I had a friend say to his father, a friend of mine's father said to her, who do you think you are? To own this, like almost like you don't have a right to be the person in charge. Like who gave you that right? So there's that sort of attitude. He said, you weren't raised that way. I'm like, what? It's really hard for me to get my head wrapped around. So there's that issue. But then I see other women going, well, I don't want to make a ton of money. And like, but if you were just doing what you wanted to do and being the best that you could be, you'd probably make a lot of money along the way. Do you know what I mean? But they're fearful of making too much money. And then what people will think if they make too much money. And what's that say about them as human beings? And I have a hard time with all of it. Like every single bit of it, I have a hard time understanding that. So can you enlighten us with any more of those kinds of money mindset issues that people have, and how can they get past this? Or how do you work with clients that I'm sure everyone I mentioned you've probably dealt with on some level?
Yeah. The whole time you're speaking, I'm like, oh, you're speaking to my soul. So a bunch of comments on what you said. So when we grow up, right, people don't realize their words, right? Our parents, our aunt and uncle, our grandparent, different generations, your friend's dad, whoever it might be, they have their own money mindset issues, right? Mm-hmm. They grew up in a different generation. They have had their own challenges. They lived during a different economy. They had a different experience with different genders. So they're bringing all of that into their words, and then they're speaking their words unto you when you're a child and as an adult, quite frankly. And when you hear that, you can't help but hold on to it, right? And it becomes part of your money mindset. And we hear it a lot when we work with clients, like, well, you know, my parents were entrepreneurs, but they never had much money. Or my friend's parents were entrepreneurs. They never had much money. I don't think I'm ever going to make much money at this thing. And so you take these experiences that aren't yours and you hold on to them. And I think that for women, it really becomes part of your limiting belief. I had a client who I was working with last year, and we did what we call it a catch up. So we take all of her books from the previous year because she hadn't been doing her bookkeeping. So we went back in time. We did all of her bookkeeping. We brought everything all up to date. So we did the catch up, and I sat down with her and I said, all right, here's where you were for last year. Let's start to plan for next year. And she looked at it and she goes, you know, I really don't make that much money. I'm kind of doing this thing on the side. She completely minimized it. And I said, oh my gosh, you made almost $1 million last year in gross sales. And you have 6 contractors who you're paying, right? I'm like, you have a business. You need to embrace what you're doing here and really own it. And she said to me, wow, you really just made me face my business, right? You made me face what I'm doing. You made it feel so, so real. I've been telling myself that this was just some side thing that I was just kind of doing, and you made it so real. And then I watched her over the next year really transform, really grow her business. She ended up converting her contractors to employees. She put herself on payroll. She took a salary. She invested in equipment. Knowing her numbers gave her the confidence to be able to grow because she took her business serious. And I think that that is the number one thing that I'm going to say women entrepreneurs, but I'm going to say entrepreneurs in general, right? Mm-hmm. Best thing that we can do as entrepreneurs is this air quote, know your numbers, but to have the data, right? To have your financial statements, to have key performance indicators that you're monitoring. Look at the numbers, see where you're at, because that is going to help you with your money mindset, because you're going to know what you did. And then you can learn from it and double down on what worked and stop doing what didn't work. So I think the best way that we can overcome our money mindset is to face it head on. And I know that's scary, so I don't want to speak at it from a place of minimizing the task at hand. And that's mm-hmm. why I always say, get help, right? Because if you can get help, that task at hand doesn't feel so big.
Yeah, I think there's the other one I just want to bring out, because I brought out some pretty big ones. But the other one is this sort of, you're not doing the right thing when you're making too much money. Like, this money is the root of all evil thing. And I see a lot of women that struggle with this. They probably were brought up and told it, you know, if they made a lot of money, that it was going to be bad for them, or they would make bad choices in life. They connected it with doing right and doing wrong. And that's another big area that I see women struggle with.
Yeah, I do think, you know, call it movies, call it previous experiences, growing up, whatever it is. I think that being successful and having money has been portrayed as like sleazy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be sleazy, right? Paying yourself, right? Taking home a salary in your business, owning a business, being a successful business owner, having investments outside of your business, those are all things that just set you up to live the life that you want to live, not be a sleazeball, right? It just lines you up to be happy as a business owner, because then you can do the things that you want to do and go the places that you want to go.
Well, it's also impacting the lives of others along the way. Like, you suddenly are employing, you know, either 6 people or 8 people or 10 people or 20 people or 120 people. And so suddenly your efforts in your business are able to have an impact in a really awesome way on other people's lives as well.
Yeah. And think about, you know, I mentioned my kids, but think about your niece or your nephew or the kid who lives 2 doors down from you. When you are running a business and you are showing the people around you what hard work looks like and what happens when we work hard, there are people around you watching and admiring what you're doing. And it doesn't have to be your kids. It could be the friend at the football game or, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it might be, you know, the woman who sees you at Panera every Friday. Like, these people who are watching you, that you also get to inspire people, because not everybody sees it as sleazy. I can promise you, most people don't see it as sleazy. We only see it that way in our head. And so you have the opportunity to inspire other people. I had my nephew a few weeks ago and he was over. He's about my son's age. He's 12 now. And he said, "Hey, I don't think I really realized that you owned your own business until recently." He goes, "That is so cool." He's like, "I heard you on your calls all day," because he had been here all day during the weekday. He goes, "It was really cool hearing you on your calls all day." Like and that's just my nephew, you know, and I get to inspire him. And he thinks now in his mind, so now I've planted a seed in another generation who thinks owning a business is really cool.
Yep. That's awesome. So let's talk about what working from your happy place means to you.
For me, working from my happy place, like I feel really fortunate. So I mentioned at the beginning, I live in the Midwest. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, and we got all 4 seasons. And so trust me, like, there's a whole quarter of the year that I don't want to leave my house or I want to escape. But I feel very fortunate. I get to work from my home. I get to see my children when they get off the bus. I don't stop working when they get home, but I get to see them. I get to know that they're home. I know that they're not, you know, starting a kitchen fire. That did happen. My son tried to make microwavable macaroni and cheese without putting the water in.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm like, what is that smell? I get to be here. And I think that that's really important. And I talked a lot about it on the show today. I get to inspire others. And that, for me, is my happy place. So I get to be here. I get to be with my family. Your family is everything to me. My kids are everything to me. I'm so fortunate. My mom lives 5 miles one direction. My brother and my nephews live 5 miles the other direction. And I get to be so filled with love that it makes working hard easier, right? When I'm up at night thinking about ideas, or can't stop the hamster wheel of thoughts in my head because there's pressure and there's ideas and there's inspiration, it makes it all worthwhile, because I get to be with the ones that I love, and get to give my team that same opportunity, and then inspire other entrepreneurs and other children and other people around me. And I think that there's something really special about that. I've really, really been leaning this year into, how do we inspire each other? How do we become a light for other entrepreneurs? How can we serve each other so that we're all lifting each other up? I think after the past year, we can all use that more, right? And we can mm-hmm. use how we can serve each other and how we can be there for each other and be a light and an inspiration.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give? So I want two pieces of advice here. Let's do our normal question for the show. And that's like, what advice would you give to other entrepreneurs that are just wanting to break away from that corporate world or start a side hustle or do their own thing, have their own business? What advice would you give to that individual? We'll do that as part A.
Okay. Part A, just do it. there you go, Nike. I'm being so serious though. I see perfection paralysis, in everybody. It is something fierce, and I see it with clients all the time. I see it with other entrepreneurs, other business owners. We want everything to be perfect. I can't start my side hustle until I get the website, but I can't get the website until I figure out what my product or my service is going to be. And I can't do that until blah, 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 blah. We can go on and on and on, right?
It's a vicious circle is what it is.
It really is. Oh my goodness. It really is. I mean, and I'm speaking again from a place of experience. So I'm not saying go get started and I'm the one that came into this with a business plan. I didn't. I did not have a business plan. I did not have a website. I didn't even know what our services were going to be. I knew I wanted to help other entrepreneurs understand their numbers. I had no idea how I was going to do that. I thought it was going to be providing CFO services for mid-sized businesses, right? I had no idea. Mm-hmm. You should have seen my first website. It was the worst thing in the world. it looked like it was created by a bunch of accountants. However,
oh my goodness.
I mean, seriously, like there were so many words on that site. But what happened was that website, although it was terrible, gave people the faith that they needed to say yes. That's all I needed was them for to say yes. And then what happened was I learned what I enjoyed. I learned how I wanted to serve other people. And then I learned what they needed from me. And over the 7 years, our business has completely transformed. We work with startups. We work with people who are just starting out, up to mid-sized business, right? And I had no idea that I was going to be there. So you don't need to have everything planned out today. You need an idea or a product, and then you need to go test it in the market and get started. And you might continue to struggle with this even after you start your business, because I've had a few new ideas that I've been playing with the last few months, and I had to say to myself recently, this does not need to be perfect, Danielle. You need to launch this off the ground. People need this, and that's why this idea exists. You need to bring it.
Very good. And then part B of that is, so someone has a business, and they're really looking to scale that business. They're kind of in this, maybe rut is the wrong word, but they're just not sure, and they want it to grow, but they don't know how. And so what are some things in regards to numbers? What are some things that they can do that could help put them on the track of growth?
Oh, how much time do we have?
your best tips.
Yeah. Start tracking. So I think that is what we can do today. If you are in business today, I want you to start tracking the information. I want every entrepreneur, I don't care how little you're making or how much you're making, I want you in an accounting software. So get started in QuickBooks or Xero, whatever it might be, and then start tracking the numbers and looking at it. I always tell people your numbers are trying to tell you a story. It's your job as the business owner to read and understand the story. When you're trying to grow your business, you have to do more of what's working and less of what's not working. And your numbers will tell you what's working. It'll tell you where you're spending money, where your leads are coming from, where you're making money. And so I use the word KPIs a lot, key performance indicators, because I think that they're the best way of indicating where we've been to figure out where we're going. And so You can start looking at the numbers, start picking out a few KPIs. Not everyone is going to work for everybody, but just start looking at them and you're going to learn so much by taking that process. So does that help? I think that's a good summary.
It is a good summary. And I would just like to add to that, because I'm a huge numbers person, and it's important to know things like you said, like, how many leads are you getting even? Because that's a part of then making money on down the line. Like, I even this year during COVID decided, like, I really need to be more conscious about my social media numbers. Like, if we're trying to grow that area, and this is where I'm going to spend time because I'm not out, you know, speaking live right now. And so we made a conscious effort, and every single week I have the number, like, what are our followers? And I wasn't doing that before, and I'm a huge numbers girl, but I'm like, these are things that tell us, is going live, is doing this contest, is doing, like, when did we see the bump? Like, when did we see the greatest bump? What did we do that week that caused that really big bump? And then we learned a couple of times there was one silly thing that we did. And then it was like, oh my gosh, we had an increase of in 1 week, like 700 people on our mailing list. And so then you learn, do more of that. It helps you to actually quit wasting time on things that maybe aren't bringing in as many leads, or even because then the leads turn to revenue, which turns to a customer or whatever the case may be. But, you know, even for me, just keeping track of that every week, it changed our behaviors in either wasting time or where we put our energy and efforts, and what was the result of that. And it's been awesome, actually.
Yeah. It is amazing when you start tracking numbers and you realize, oh, wow, I don't need to spend my money there. Or I don't need to spend my time there. Yep. We do this exercise with clients where we plan for the next year. Doesn't matter what quarter, you just pick up, you know, for the next 12 months. And we look at every expense, right? So where are we spending money? And I always ask people, especially on this subscriptions, because those can add up. Is it making your life easier or more efficient? Is it making the client experience better? Why do you need to spend this money? And if we can't answer those questions, then we don't need to spend the money. We don't need to have this service or this platform, or we don't have to do things just because our competitor is, or just because this other guru is doing it. I think that there's a lot of that on social media right now. Well, I see this person is doing it. I must have to do that too. Mm-hmm. Guess what? It might not be working for them, and they're just not looking at their numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, this has been awesome. Leave us with some maybe new and exciting things you're working on, and then how can our listeners find you?
So I am actually working on a podcast of my own. You know, when we talk about our happy place, this is my happy place. I love talking to entrepreneurs like you about all things entrepreneurship and our experiences and money and numbers. And so we're actually creating a podcast called Entrepreneurial Money Stories. And it's going to be all about people coming in to talk about their money mindset and their journey. And so I welcome everybody to stay tuned for that. We're really excited about that. And come hang out with us on social media. So you're talking about social media. Mm-hmm. I don't go live. I don't do any crazy reels. You'll never see me dancing on Instagram. but you'll see lots of pictures of dog walks with my golden retriever and a ton of financial tips and tricks. So if you heard some things that we were talking about today, come find us at Kickstart Accounting. Instagram's my favorite. You can come hang out on our website, kickstartaccountinginc.com. You can find a 5-day boot camp there. You can come and book a call and you'll talk directly to me. I am here to serve you and your audience. So if I can be a resource for you or anybody who's listening, I am happy to do that. And this is my passion. So please come hang out, book a call, come talk to me.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Danielle, for being a guest on our show today. I appreciate it so much. And thanks to all of our listeners who joined in today. And remember, subscribe or follow us so you don't miss a single episode. And make sure that you share us with a friend. So refer others to this podcast. We love it. And check out Danielle's new podcast because I'm sure it's going to be amazing as well. So once again, we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.